This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
How great to have as our guest today, David Nolan, the founder of the Libertarian Party. David has been involved in many roles in the party over the years, as national chairman, on the platform committee, on the national committee, as a candidate for office. David, you were at the creation. You've followed everything since, but it seems to me there's been some recent trouble in the LP, or at least some recent changes in the platform and the sorts of candidates that are being run in the nature of the national office. What's happened? What do you think of those changes?
Happening is what happens, I think, with an awful lot of human endeavors, which is that enterprises that were created to serve a particular purpose or achieve a particular mission gradually assume a life of their own and become more and more involved with internal concerns, internal disputes, little struggles for power and position, etc. And I think that's happened to the Libertarian Party. We have, unfortunately, created, or the party has created, a little class of mini bureaucrats who are more concerned with keeping their job and perpetuating the institution as an institution and raising money than they are with spreading the message. When we started out, our goal was to spread the word about, was sort of evangelical, I guess you could say, to spread the word about liberty out into the world at large. And we had people like Murray Rothbard and John Hospers and many other distinguished thinkers of that era involved in the party. Now we're down to the level of people who are, I think, for the most part, well-intended, but are, compared to those men, are, you know, several orders down the intellectual scale, and they're absorbed with minutiae, they're concerned with budgets and fundraising, and they're afraid to say anything that might scare people because that might keep people from voting from us. So it's become a very timid organization in the last 6 or 8 years. Couple of interesting statistics. The Libertarian Party, National Party's membership today is almost exactly one half of what it was at the end of the Harry Brown campaign 8 years ago. We were on the ballot in fewer states than any year since 1984, and the projected budget for 2009 is the smallest that it will have seen since 1992. This is definitely a party that is stagnating and shrinking. And of course, the question is why?
Well, you know, David, although I was involved in the LP for a time and had the honor of being on the platform committee with you, it's been a long time since I've been a member, and I guess I've sort of become what Gerald Celente calls a political atheist, that I don't tend to see too much use in politics. But as a libertarian, I think if there's going to be a libertarian party, it ought to be libertarian. If I were a member of the vegetarian party, I'd be upset if they started eating chicken.
Or had a platform that says, we call for a 7% reduction in the consumption of beef, which is effectively what Bob Barr did in his recent campaign. They were touting on the Bob Barr 2008 website the fact that he was the only presidential candidate who was calling for a reduction in spending. He was talking about cutting federal spending by $200 billion out of a $2.8 trillion budget. Well, that's certainly better than increasing it, but this is far, far cry from the old days where we talked about cutting federal spending by 50% in the first year of a presidential term. And that's the direction things have taken. You know, more and more, the concern seems to be, let's not say anything scary. And consequently, virtually all calls for eliminating or greatly reducing any government agency or any government program have been thrown out. We now have a platform that states all the principles. If you go through the 2008 platform, it's not bad in terms of the principles that it enunciates. But, boy, there are no specifics as to, well, what does this actually mean? If you apply this principle in a given area, what are the implications? All of that has been stripped out using the rationale that, well, our goal is to get elected, or in the case of the presidential campaign, to get the maximum number of votes. We can't say anything too scary. Let's just talk about a general direction.
Well, you know, that's the excuse, but it didn't work, did it?
It sure didn't. And incidentally, Bob Barr himself was not my first choice as a presidential candidate, but I actually think he was not as bad a candidate as many people feared that he would be, and his rhetoric on the campaign trail actually got slightly more radical as the campaign progressed. Maybe that was because the turn of events in the financial sector provided him with an opportunity to say things more like what Ron Paul had been saying. Barr as a candidate was not bad. His campaign was the worst run libertarian presidential campaign ever, period. in my opinion. And again, that shows up in things like the fact that they are only on the ballot in 45 states, a level we have not seen since 1984. They raised $1.25 million and spent $1.5 million and are now going around trying to get people to contribute to make up their deficit and pay their debts. Well, good luck with that. Nobody's very inclined at this point to give a nickel to Bob Barr, I don't think, because the campaign was so poorly run. They were talking about getting 5% of the vote. They were talking, which they said would qualify the party for federal matching funds, something we wouldn't take or shouldn't take in any case. They were talking about raising $30 or $40 million. That was based on the performance of the Ron Paul effort earlier in the year. They wound up getting 0.4%, almost exactly what our average vote for presidential candidates over the last 15, 20 years has been, and getting only a little over 500,000 votes.
So what's the upshot? You had a resolution that I blogged about on LRC arguing that there needed to be some serious reforms after this recent experience, and I understand it was tossed out.
Well, yes. And realistically, I did not expect that resolution to pass the National Committee as it is currently constituted. My primary motive was to get it on the table, force the National Committee members to confront the issues, discuss the issues, and of course, the fact that, gee, it's leaked and it's all over the web. I am shocked, I must say, shocked. I never imagined that such a thing would happen. The Maricopa County Libertarian Party just passed that resolution a few days ago. I understand they reworded it a little bit. I suspect the Arizona State Party will pass a similar resolution when it convenes in January. And I wouldn't be surprised to see variations of that resolution pass in a number of states. My observation is that the grassroots membership of the Libertarian Party is far, far more radical in the proper sense of the word than the so-called leadership, the people on the National Committee. The people on the National Committee are the kind of people that you would find in student government in high school. They like sitting at the table and having a title and being important. Now, that's not true of all of them, but it does seem to me, again, we're looking at that institutionalization of the Libertarian Party, where for a lot of people, having a title or a role in the institution is the most important thing. And they spend a great deal of time talking about fundraising and budget, which are important things. But when our national treasurer, Aaron Starr, trotted out the proposed budget for next year, it was right about $1.25 million. Not being on the committee, I didn't get a detailed breakdown to look at, but I saw it on the screen as they threw it up there with a projector. $1.25 million is where we were in 1992. If you adjust for inflation, that's really only equivalent of about 800,000 then. This is a party that has about a fifth the budget that it used to have in terms of real dollars.
What should the party do? I mean, why don't you go over with us what things you said in your resolution? What's your prescription?
Well, I think we need to re-radicalize. I think we need to accept the fact that there is, in my mind, and I realize there are people who vehemently disagree, there is no point to having a Libertarian Party if it is not a radical party. And I use the word radical in its proper sense from the Latin word radix, I guess it is, for root. We need to strike at the root of the problems in society. The idea that we can simply sort of clean things up and get rid of some of the excesses and make things work a little better, the traditional reformer position, I think is silly for a third party, because if people want to go that route, and tactically that may make sense, they've got two existing parties who are far better at getting people elected. If you want to be a reformer and trim away at the edges of the ever-growing Goliath in Washington, D.C., and to some extent state capitals as well, why start a new party, or why support a third party which has far less electoral clout, far less chance of electoral success? If you want to reform, if you want to trim spending by 7%, you're better off doing it, as I see it, within the Republican or Democratic parties. There is a Republican Liberty Caucus, which I have a very dim view of because I think the people who run it are not really libertarians. But strategically or tactically, the route they propose of working within the Republican Party for those kinds of changes makes more sense than taking a radical party, watering its positions down and saying, well, let's cut things a little bit. I find it very illustrative that the Libertarian Party's new website, and by new I mean within the last year, now has at the top of the home page, it says the party of principle, and underneath that it says smaller government, lower taxes, more freedom. Well, those are all good things, but how much smaller, how much lower, how much more? Those are almost identical to the words on Dick Armey's FreedomWorks website, where they say, lower taxes, less government, more freedom. Dick Armey's a former Republican congressman, pretty hardcore on spending issues, at least by Republican standards. The slogan on their website is lower taxes, less government, more freedom. Virtually identical. The Libertarian Party seems to be more and more trying to ape the style and rhetoric of the conservative wing of the Republican Party. Bob Barr said in his early campaign interviews that the goal of his campaign was to get disaffiliated, disaffected conservatives to vote Libertarian, or more accurately, to vote for him. Barr was amazing in his ability to avoid the use of the word Libertarian, and that's one reason that support for the Barr campaign within the existing Libertarian Party membership was very tepid. You know, gee, why should we support you, Bob, when you don't even use our name? On the other hand, people are now saying, well, given the stance he took and the rhetoric he used, maybe it's just as well he didn't identify himself as a Libertarian. So there's two schools of thought on that.
You know, Dick Armey strikes me as the typical conservative Republican in the sense that he says some good things, but when he was in the Congress, he was terrible. I mean, he was an advocate of bigger government. He voted for all the bad things the Republicans did. So, I mean, it's just talk. And I can remember being told about on his last day in the Congress, Dick Armey was going around and preening himself to everybody that he was about to make many millions of dollars a year as a lobbyist. Well, you know, you don't make millions of dollars a year as a lobbyist in D.C. by working for less government.
Exactly. And I think that Barr and Armey are kind of cut from the same cloth. I suspect that each of them might object to that fairly vehemently and try to point out the differences. But in the broader scale of things, as you just pointed out, you get these ex-Republicans who talk a conservative line. And Armey is saying the same things on his webpage that most libertarian websites are saying about stop the bailouts and no new taxes and stop the Democrats' grandiose nationalized health care plans and so forth. That's all very good. It's better than supporting all those things. But in terms of offering a real alternative, I don't think they do. And I would suspect that the average person who is not really a libertarian yet, but wants to work for, you know, supports those kinds of changes or opposes the kinds of changes that are likely to be proposed by the Obama administration, would be more likely to join FreedomWorks rather than to join a third party. I mean, what's the incentive for somebody who is a reformer, who wants to slow down the growth of government, wants to cut spending a little bit? What's their incentive to join a third party when they can work within the two-party system? The only reason to have a libertarian party as a separate entity, I would reiterate, is to be radical, to strike at the root of the thing. It's funny, if you look at Armey's FreedomWorks website, which I'm looking at right now, right at the top of the page, it says Roots of the Crisis. He's effectively taking a radical position, in some ways more radical than the National Libertarian Party. The National Libertarian Party has become very timid, very much concerned with preserving its own status, the members of the party and the national office. The national staffers now basically thumb their nose at the membership. They don't allow any comments on the national, on the blog they have on the national website. It's become a little ingrown group of administrators who think we are the party now. And they can think that all they want, but the price they pay is people direct their dollars elsewhere. They direct it to your organization, Mises.org, or to FreedomWorks, or Advocates for Self-Government, or Cato, or Reason. There's so many choices now that there weren't 37 years ago. What with the rise of the web and the proliferation of libertarian and free market-oriented think tanks, the Libertarian Party really needs to establish a unique niche, and it's not doing it.
It's ironic. One of the downsides from just a purely practical matter, that if you take a tepid and a nuanced position on important issues, that when the Republicans get into the opposition, exactly as it happened in the 90s, they start sounding like libertarians. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Republicans being more libertarian in their rhetoric than the Libertarian Party. So this
rhetoric.
Is, no, of course, only in their rhetoric, since they're all just liars. Well, David, I sure appreciate you coming on the show today and talking to us about the Libertarian Party and the path that they ought to take, and we hope they will take. And thanks for all you've done for the cause of liberty over these decades and still continue to do.
You betcha.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show, produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.